In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am the bread of life. Ever since we began this reading from the sixth chapter of John, Eric has been asking me, when are we going to sing the song? Today is the day. It is a favorite among many Episcopalians. I am the bread of life. And this passage here is key, central to our understanding of our relationship with God through Christ, that God came down to meet us where we are. And although we've had these writings today from 1 Kings about God providing a cake baked on a hot rock for Elijah, last week we had the story of manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. But this idea that God makes provision for us, and not just in physical need, but ultimately here in our spiritual, in our eternal need for the bread that comes from heaven. Jesus contrasts the manna, the bread that came from heaven as they knew of it. So yeah, your ancestors ate it and they're dead. And not because they ate the manna, but just because, you know, hundreds of years have passed now. But I'm not talking about just making it possible for you to live and exist from day to day. We're talking eternal life. We're talking communion with God. After 2,000 years, when we come up to the altar rail, we kind of forget how incredible an event that is. Sometimes those of us who receive communion each week are criticized that it becomes old hat, that maybe you should hold off and do it just once a month or once every 3 months or something. But we also pray, give us this day our daily bread. We need that daily or at least weekly reminder that we are called by God to live with God forever, and that God is the one who makes provision for us. It's not us doing it. God has come to us. God came down from heaven, became incarnate in Jesus Christ, and gave himself for us, that we can eat the bread that feeds forever, that we can take part in that heavenly wedding banquet that lasts forever, that we know that no matter what existence we have now, what we're promised through Christ is an eternal banquet with God. And you can look at me and tell, I enjoy a good banquet. So I'm looking forward to it. And each week we get the opportunity to come up and have a foretaste of that. And that little piece of pseudo bread and a sip of wine is not going to satisfy any physical hunger at all. But that spiritual hunger, that knowing that we're not just left to our own devices, that we're not just random molecules, we're here created by God to love and to serve God and to serve each other in God's name, to seek and serve Christ and all others. They were drawn together by the body and blood of Christ. And there's no way that we can come up, walk up these steps, kneel at that altar rail, and not be profoundly moved by it. And if we are, let's stop and think about it, what we're doing here. That God in Christ gave himself for us, was willing to die for us, that we can have eternal life with him. We're creatures. We're made out of the same stuff as, you know, slime and garbage, hair. You can clean us up with Drano. And yet God knows us and loves us, and through Christ died for us, gave himself, that we can feast on the body and blood of Christ, that he can become part of us and we part of him. It's one of my favorite phrases from the Rite One service, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Because we are all one body, drawn together in the love of Christ and exemplified in communion. And so if there is a danger of it becoming old hat, that's fine, because the importance of the reminder that it is, the sustenance that it gives our souls, far outweighs that. So we come up here and we kneel, we hold out our hands, and we receive Christ in a tangible way. and feed on Him in our hearts. There's no way we can be unmoved by that. And if we are, we need to examine that. Find out why. Why doesn't it move me? I was told when I was going through the process of discernment to be a priest that if I ever got to the point when I'm saying the Eucharistic prayer, no matter what form, and it's just words, it's time to step back. Maybe go on sabbatical. Haven't gotten there yet. I still am moved and awed and humbled every time I get to say those words, every time I get to hand the body and blood of Christ to you, that we share this incredible thing. I don't know, sometimes you'll see me and I'm just grinning from one side of my face to the other as I walk up to you, because I am so happy that we share in this, provided by God Himself. We're going to read next week, a lot of people couldn't handle it. When Jesus said, "Eat my body, drink my blood," they're like, "Ooh, no." And yeah, on one level, it is a little weird, but if it made sense, it wouldn't be true. We'd make up something that sounded better than what we do, which is that we come together and feast on eternal bread and enjoy eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.